'Twas the month before a new album, and all throughout Taylor Nation, not a Swiftie could sleep from the anticipation. Easter eggs had been placed by the mastermind herself, while fans pieced together the meanings they held. Friends' profile pics changed, she wore black at every site, but then arrived at the Grammys in head-to-toe white? With Swiftie investigations, dissecting subtext, she had us all fooled that Rep TV would be next. When up on the stage, she started her speech, our jaws dropped to the floor as she announced TTPD. We brushed to our phones, we scoured TikTok for the signs that we missed as we all were in shock. We devoured the track list, tried to predict our top songs. Are they about Travis or Joe? We'll know soon. It won't be long. And so here we are, realizing we're all just puppets as Taylor pulls the strings of her tortured Swifties department. Welcome back, Swifties. This is the very first episode after the Torture Poets Department has released.
TTPD.
TTPD. We are recording this a day after the album release. And as you probably just heard, I'm joined by a very special guest. He is my husband, my doggy daddy.
Oh boy.
And supporter of the pod, Adam Miller. Welcome.
Hi. Glad to be here.
Super glad to have you here. I've been saying this all day because we've kind of been like talking about things about the album, and we keep being like,
save it for the pod. So we haven't spoken for about 24 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. This is our first time using our voices in our house. But I've been really excited to talk to you about it. So I've been saying that, and you said that made you scared.
We'll see. I don't know. I feel like we've diverged in Taylor in like the past few albums. It started with Folklore.
Like in terms of songs and stuff
songs,
that we like.
Vibes and likes and dislikes.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing that I think you and I strongly agree on that most people don't is we are fans of Slut.
Who's not a fan of Slut?
I don't know that people aren't fans of it. It's just like it hasn't, like that was like a standout for us in 1989 TV. And just like it's not a standout for other people.
Top five song.
Yeah.
Top five.
Wow. You heard
it. Not
just
on the album.
Like ever. Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to get into like your relationship with Taylor and like kind of your relationship to the fandom. If you listen to season one, you got like a sneak peek of this, but we want to hear it straight from you. But before we do that, it's just me today, Sarah, with Adam, because we have a really, really special announcement to share. So before we get into everything TTPD, we have the announcement. So we can all rest easy now knowing that there definitely is a God. Because if there was no proof before, there absolutely is now. Because after his tortured Eras Tour, Rep TV clowning, Let's Make a Podcast year, Max Schwant's baby was finally born on the Tortured Poets Department Day. The day that it was released.
The stars aligned.
So I'm going to, of course, let him share the details of that day and everything leading up to it. But I did receive the permission to share this news that his beautiful baby's been born and that him and his wife, Jackie, were actually called to the hospital 20 minutes before the album dropped. So it's actually crazy. Him and I were like messaging a little bit over like Instagram, actually, because we like saw that each other was active. And then he was like, doctor's calling, gotta go.
So we are not sharing any
No. That's it.
All right. That's a cliffhanger.
So Mac is going to be out of office for a little bit with his family, but he is checking in on us.
Love that we're calling this the office.
He also did want me to share with you all that his top song is currently But Daddy, I Love Him.
Oh, good. Good for you, Mac.
I was excited for you to hear that.
Thank you, Mac.
Because, yeah, I don't know. So you and Mac are either, like, strongly aligned or strongly unaligned.
I think we are right now, Mac and I, more polar.
Yeah.
Than our Taylor.
Yeah. I was excited for you to know that, though. Okay.
I'll call you, Mac. We'll talk.
Sorry, I'm having a latte. Okay, so now we can move on, but congratulations, Jackie and Mac. We love you.
Love you. Oh my God, a family of four.
Yeah.
And then six, if you include Crew and Blue.
A fortnight, if you will. A fortnight.
Love that.
All right, Adam, tell the people a little bit about, like, just like you as a fan of Taylor.
Loaded question. I'm a fan of Taylor. I mean, how else do you state that plainly? I've been riding since the beginning.
Yeah.
I've never really wavered. We'll talk about Kim, I assume, soon and all of that.
Like
jazz.
Snake-y.
People fell off. People were like happy to see her canceled.
And yeah.
I didn't understand that. I didn't subscribe to that. But I think I'm like, in the greater fandom of Taylor, you know, to drop another pun, I hate it here.
Yeah. Yeah.
The fans have gotten to be, I'm not aligning myself with like the fans who are out there right now.
Like Swift talk.
I don't know. I'm not on TikTok. I've only heard bad things about, like, you know, like I've heard Mother.
Yeah.
And Blondie. And yeah. Like, these are things I've never heard of before. But the thing I think that we really disagree on, and I disagree with Mac, is you guys are like invested in her as a person.
Yeah.
I am here for the music. I don't care who she dates.
Yeah.
I don't care about seeing her on TV unless it's like,
watching
the Long Pond sessions or watching, I still even like to watch The Reputation. I don't know really where we've crossed a line. And I think this album calls it out.
Yeah. 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 It definitely does. So are you saying that you separate the art from the artist?
Oh boy. I don't think Taylor's problematic. I mean, I want to make that very clear, you know, whereas you have people like Kanye where there is the lines are blurred.
Yeah.
With artists such as Kanye or whatever he calls himself now.
No, thank you. That's like exactly what I wanted from you. Like to just hear like your relationship to her and how it's like actually not necessarily a relationship to her as much as it is the music. And you've always been a fan. I will say I've been told this before in our life together, but like a lot more recently is that I am so lucky to, I feel like since the Eras tour, like everyone's like, you are so lucky that you have a husband that like likes Taylor and you can like both enjoy the music and you can like talk to him about it. And I was just going to agree and say, I do think that I am lucky. Don't think a lot of people get that. So
it's true.
I'm really excited that you're here today.
I think that, you know, even people at the Eras tour thought that like I was one of those like husbands who was dragged to the show.
Yeah. 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 Whereas like, truly, like right before the Eras tour, I feel like I was like, oh my God, I can't believe we're here. And you're like, shh, I have to listen. Okay.
I'm a focused person and I have been in these last 24 hours, like just putting my headphones in.
Yeah, you got into the zone before we were recording. I was like testing audio and stuff and you were like, okay, hold on. You like put your headphones in, you listen to a couple songs and you're like, okay, I'm ready.
But still not really that ready.
So that's a good point. I said it at the top. We are recording this the day after an album drop. I think I obviously agree with you that I think fans have crossed the line. It's like a big thing that like Mac and I talk about all the time is like, that's why we're here. Kind of like the Swiftie relationship to Taylor. But one thing that like actually really kind of gets to me is that we'll have a day with new music, and this is the most music she has ever put out at one time.
Yeah, it's like 31 songs.
Yeah. So
it's
2 hours and 15 minutes or something like that. It's like,
You know, she did this on a Thursday night. I have a job that I have to go to and try to give some attention to.
Yeah,
while
exactly.
I'm trying to also digest 2 hours worth of music.
Yeah. So it's like the most she's ever dropped at one time. And I stayed up till midnight and I listened to part one. And at 1:05, I closed my phone and I went to sleep. And then I woke up to like text and it was like the double album. So then that morning I woke up, I listened to the rest of it. But like, yeah, it was the same thing. Like, I just like couldn't give it all of the focus that it deserved. And there's a lot of like, what are your thoughts? What do you think? What are your favorite songs? Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay. Can we have a second? Like, I just said to you today, I feel like I need to listen to this album while reading every lyric to like fully digest everything. Like, if you go into TikTok, the entire thing's been dissected already. And I'm like, oh, these children literally never sleep.
I know. It's like a group project, I think, with like these TikTok people, because it's like they'll do a deep dive on this one song and like, you know, I don't know. They seem organized. Like they seem like they will say, you get But Daddy, I Love Him. We're going to take Robin. You're going to take the manuscript.
Right.
And then they all collectively get together. I don't know how they do it. Discord or something.
Probably. Yeah. Or just like.
It just seems a little like heavily orchestrated.
Yeah.
In a way. Like even when I first started to look up some of the lyrics, some of the websites didn't have the correct lyrics.
Yeah. Like the songs just came out. Like
they're still working on them.
Yeah.
And even like I Spotify must have AI generated lyrics, because there were just some things that like they think that they hear. And so I noticed a couple of things where it sounds like
Starbucks says, lovers.
Sounds like running. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, this is a plug for like human powered employment. AI can't do everything yet.
Whereas like at the top of this season, I was like, we rely on AI for this podcast. All right. So all of that is to say that like, we're going to talk about this at the extent that we can talk about it. Like we will not have all the answers to everything. There may be songs where it's like, how does that one go again? So this is meant to be like 24 hours first reaction, overall kind of high level feelings.
I don't even know all the names of the songs.
Yeah. I actually think I do know all the names now, but I can understand
we'll
test it out. Before we talk about songs in the album specifically, I did, because now everyone knows how different we are when it comes to like a Taylor release and like Taylor news and all of that. I wanted to get your live reactions on some things that happened during the week leading up to the release. So I'm going to say a word.
Okay.
And you're going to tell me like, basically, like, the first – it doesn't have to be one word, but, like, the first thing that comes into your mind, your feelings or thoughts about it.
Okay.
Okay. First one. Tay-chella.
What? Did she go to Coachella?
Yes. She went to Coachella with Travis.
All right.
Like, in the crowd.
No, you're right. I should know that Coachella just happened because our – good friend Eric Rosengard's birthday coincides with Coachella.
Every week.
Should have
every
known
year.
That happened. I had no idea that Coachella was like happening. So I'm glad she went. Was she just like in the audience?
She was literally in the audience. And it's kind of like crazy to see the videos, because you're like, how is she just like amongst the people? And then like when you have videos that are kind of farther back, you see she's like, her and Travis are literally like dancing. They're like middle school grinding to like with like a wall of security
high
guards
school,
around
maybe.
Them. Yeah, exactly. And
Okay. I remember like Lana Del Rey performed.
Yeah.
Which is probably why she was there.
So all the videos are from like the Ice Spice show. So Ice.
Did she do Karma?
She did Karma, and she was like, she said, like, Taylor, I love you. Like, Ice knew
she
was there.
She could have said that anywhere.
Yeah.
Wherever Taylor was.
Totally. But she did know that she was there. And this is when, over this week, I said, oh my God, Taylor's wearing a New Heights hat. And you literally walk into the other room and go, who cares? I was like, I care way too much.
I also just saw, you showed me like her Instagram story thing.
Yeah.
She's like wearing like some random like University of Kansas Jayhawks long sleeve shirt, which looks dope. But
yeah, it actually is a cool sweatshirt. Because
I mean, I get it, Kansas City, Travis. But he didn't go to Kansas.
No, he didn't. I think she's just like spending a lot of time there now.
Again, for the record though, Kansas City is in Missouri and not in Kansas.
Yeah, right.
So maybe she should have been wearing Mizzou.
Wow. You heard it here first. Okay, second word. Well, two words, but Ryan Gosling.
Good actor?
You sent me this video. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, the All Too Well rendition. Oh my God, loved it.
Okay.
Loved it. Oh my God, huge fan.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Huge fan, great. You know, it's obviously very planned, but like it felt like just like great marketing for whatever movie they're doing, The Fallout Guy.
Yeah, The Fall Guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I loved it. I was excited when you sent it to me because I was like, oh my gosh, that was so fun. And then like, again, you like, I don't know that you would have even seen this or cared, but like, then Taylor posting it, that was like a big deal in my opinion. Like she was like, this is awesome.
You know, I mean, but it's SNL. Like I know it's not the same as it like it was in terms of like its heyday, but like it's still like a cultural,
it's still iconic, yeah.
Iconic show. I think this goes back to like this weird kind of fandom thing that you are subscribing to where like today Sarah said to me, I'm it's really weird to me that Charlie Puth hasn't said anything yet. And I'm like, what does he have to say?
No, I'm sorry. Charlie Puth's silence is deafening right now. Like the entire internet is talking about it and he has not said a word.
The entire internet, they're not talking about him. Like,
yes, they are.
Are they?
Yeah, they're like, there's like a million memes and it's like Charlie Puth when he like hears this on the album. Because it's like kind of a weird line, right? Because it's like she clearly thinks highly of him, but she also clearly thinks that he's like not making it in the way that he should be.
I mean, look, I mean, I'm not the right person to say like if this is a big artist or not, but I couldn't tell you a single Charlie Puth song. I don't even really know. Is he like a teenager?
He's our age. He actually went to high school with Julia.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, it is cool. So we became like, I kind of like was a big fan because he got big because he had some stuff on the internet. Like he was a YouTube star, basically. Ellen had him on. He kind of skyrocketed from there.
Ellen DeGeneres?
Yeah, his song that you would know is It's Been a Long Day.
Oh,
yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, God.
No wonder I don't know him.
Okay, so we're pro Ryan Gosling. I think like Taylor posting it on her, anytime Taylor does something that feels like it's something that I do, like, oh, I saw this video I really liked and I posted it to my stories. Like, it just always feels like a big deal. My stars are just like us. Okay, the very last word. Pop-up.
The Spotify thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, dumb. You know, it didn't need that level of marketing. It had everything it needed. Like, the fans are there. Like, she has not left the public eye since Midnight's got real. I mean, well, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, Midnight's came out. There's the breakup. She's flying all over the world. She's doing the tour. She's with Travis. She's at the Super Bowl. You didn't need to do a pop-up.
So here is like my kind of take on the pop-up retrospectively, like looking back now. So this pop-up was full of like Easter eggs or whatever. Clearly the very biggest one was the statue of the two. And on the first day of the pop-up, the hand was white. And on the second day of the pop-up, the hand was black. Now, I think at initial thought, everyone kind of looks at that and they're like, okay, there's... Oh, and the clock was set to 2 a.m. So we knew that Torture Poets Department was dropping at 12, but the clock was set to 2. So we're like, I think like logically, most people assumed when they saw the black statue that it was like Rep
TV.
Black
statue of what?
The hand doing this, the peace sign.
Peace sign.
So it's like, because she did it when she announced the album at the Grammys, she did the 2 and all of that. So I think we all kind of thought like, okay, we're going to get rep TV at 2 a.m. But
okay, you guys are so silly.
Okay, but here's what was interesting. So she had these books at the pop-up, and like one was open and it had lyrics in it. It was something about statues crumbling. Okay. And that lyric was from a song in the 2 a.m. anthology drop. So like, if you're not me, because it was 1 a.m. and we're older and I can't like process all of those lyrics in real time, like all these TikTok people can. But if you're listening to the very first part of Tortured Poets Department, the only part that you think that you're getting, and you are paying attention to the lyrics and you're like, hang on, those lyrics that she had in the book at the pop-up aren't here. You can logically put together we're getting something else.
I mean, you could make that leap.
Yeah.
Or you could also recall that she has all these variations, the bolter, the albatross.
Yeah.
Those weren't on the original songs.
No, they were all either. On the They're all 2 on
the 2 a.m. release. Yeah. So we all knew that there was going to be a second release, I think.
I think I got there, but a part of me, I think, maybe wanted it to be rep. I don't know.
From if Taylor's going to invest in like marketing and doing all the things with different album releases and different special edition vinyls, she's not going to release a brand new album and release a remastered at the same time. It just makes no sense from like a business perspective.
You're going to look so silly when Rep TV drops tonight.
I don't think. I mean, how long was it between Midnights and Speak Now?
Oh my God, like a year.
So I think we have at least a year.
Yeah.
Rep. And God, she's probably going to release like three more albums between now and then.
Yeah. Well, the pattern has gone new album, two re-records. New album, two re-records.
Yeah.
So,
she's not even done touring. The Eras tour.
No, she's not, which is going to be so crazy. Like, I'm not here right now, but I can't even wrap my head around what the new tour is going to look like now with 2 new hours of music. All right, I want to talk about the album. I have a lot of thoughts and a lot to say, obviously, but general, high level, one sentence. What do you think?
I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved it pretty immediately. And like, that's not rare for me to like love a Taylor album as soon as it comes out. When I kind of think about it, comparing it to Midnights. And when Midnights came out, I was like, oh, this is really fun. And it sounds really different, and I really like it. And there's some songs that I like really, really like. Like, not just really, really like songs that I really love. Like, I love Maroon. I love Bejeweled. Obviously, we had the 3 a.m. I didn't quite vibe with the 3 a.m. as much as I am with Anthology. But, like, this was kind of an immediate – and a lot of it, too, I think has to do with how I listened to it. So, like, I stayed up till midnight. You went to sleep. And I put it in my headphones.
I went to sleep at like 9 p.m.
Yeah.
I just want to make that clear.
Yeah. Right. And I put in my headphones and I'm like listening to Taylor like all the hours leading up to it. And then I put it on and I'm sitting in our house and it's pitch black and it's just like beautiful. Like just everything she says and the sound of her voice. Like to me, I kept writing like this sounds like Lana Del Rey. Like it's just like gorgeous, and I had like an extreme emotional reaction to it. It like where I was like, I love this. But 5 songs in, I was like, I love this. Like I'm completely bought in.
I don't think I'm there yet.
Yeah, which is fair.
I think, and everybody's heard me say this, I think you're very much in the moment.
Totally.
And you, it's new, it's shiny, you're latched onto it. It takes me a while to get there. So I think I'm still even working through just the first release.
Yeah.
In many cases. Like yeah. I still feel like I'm sort of criminally under-listened on the 2 a.m.
I think like batch. In terms of normal people, like not like crazed, like Swift talk, I actually think you're with the majority. Like, I I don't think a lot of people have gotten to the second part yet, or if they have, it's been very passive.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, I didn't stay up, obviously. I didn't get, like, the first listen at midnight.
Right.
My first listening started at 6 a.m. yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a work day, and then Sarah and I went out to a brewery, and obviously they weren't playing Taylor, which was silly, but...
Yeah, on an album release
day. On an album release day.
Okay, kind of weird, whatever.
But there's... I feel like I am... I like more songs immediately than I did with some of the last albums.
Yeah.
Like... On, like, the first listen to at midnight, I think, yeah, there was, like, four or five songs where I was like, okay, I'm jamming with these. Evermore, the same thing. Folklore, the same thing. And then those albums have continued to grow on me. And there's a chasm. There's, like, songs where I'm like, I'm never going to listen to this one ever again.
Totally.
I've listened to it once. I gave it maybe a second try. Maybe even, like, was generous with a third. I tried to listen to the song you really liked. But it didn't make the cut for my... shortlist on Taylor songs.
Yeah.
This one, I think, like, there were, like, probably, like, seven, maybe even eight songs where I'm like, I like this. This is cool. My one thing is there's so many songs.
Yeah.
And some of them, it takes me a while just to even realize that I'm listening to, like, a different song.
Yeah, they, sonically, the whole... thing sounds the same.
Right. It's like, you know, the joke of like, hey, you can copy my homework, but like change it a little bit to look different. That's kind of what it feels like. Like, I kind of feel like, you know.
That's hilarious.
It's good. I like it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I like Jack and I like the sound that he brings. And I feel like some of my favorite songs from Taylor recently have been heavily influenced by sort of the sound that he brings.
Yeah.
I do think it's a little much on the Lana Del Rey kind of vibe thing.
And yeah, like, but you you heard it, like, what I was saying.
Yeah. Very much so. And, like, they're, like, a gang, right? So, like, they're influencing each other and, like, picking up vibes from the other.
Basically, by the second song, I was like, oh, the three of them sitting together at the Grammys was an Easter egg in itself.
And believe me, I think Taylor has become way less subtle. And like,
I agree.
Easter eggs are very obvious.
I agree. I'm like...
let's talk... Yeah, thank you, Amy. There's no subtleness.
I think Mac disagrees with me. I think he thinks that she is, like, slyer than she is. But I'm like, no. Taylor tells us when something's coming. Like, we're not... It's obvious.
Now, yeah.
I would say, like, within the last 2 years.
Like, I think back to, like... when we first listened to Me.
Oh, yeah.
Which everybody loved Me. I'm still a big fan of Me. It's definitely fallen. Like, people don't even, they completely discount it.
People, like, were only, I also love Me. I think it's a crime she didn't play it in the Eras Tour.
Crime.
If there was ever a place to play it, it was at the freaking Eras Tour. But she didn't do it because Taylor gives into peer pressure and it's really annoying.
I think though that thinking back to that,
yeah,
to that release and that music video,
yeah,
and I remember, like, I think she even, like, dropped, like, the clue of, like, the name of the new album is in the music video, and then it's just written in big capital letters, Lover, and I just remember it's like, it's not Lover.
Yeah, we were like, it's too obvious. There's no chance it's going to be Lover.
You know,
we were like debating it.
We're like zooming in and we're like, you know, it's in this big crystal. So we're like, it's got something to do with like being in like a prism and like blah, blah, blah. And then it was Lover the whole time.
It was
Lover. You know, and like there's a picture of the Dixie Chicks, you know, or whatever. And she's whatever. I mean, there's no reason to hide it.
Yeah.
And people dissect things immediately. Like, she did the vault releases and she did the scrambled letters. And
yeah.
Like, people got it in, like, 3 minutes.
It was, like, literally just Fortnite. Something that you did when listening to this album. So, as everyone heard, Adam's really, really, like, focused. Like, he, like, if there's something he needs to focus on, that's all he's doing. And so like Adam, watching Adam listen to new Taylor albums is kind of funny because he's like, I hear stuff and I'll start dancing or whatever. But you will like, you're like, I'm listening. Like you're really into it and you're really processing.
I like have a cup of coffee and I'm staring out the window.
Yeah, exactly. But you put it on and you listen to Fortnite and I'm kind of like watching you and I kind of see you like, kind of like you're not dancing, but like you're kind of bopping. And I was like, okay, he's going to listen in his headphones. So I put my headphones on and I was like, I'm going to listen to the anthology now. And after Fortnite ended, you tapped me and you go, you mouth to me, you put a thumbs up, you go, that was good. And I was like, oh my God, I feel like that was a big reaction for the first song coming from you.
It was a good song.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
I liked it. I mean, I don't think it's error free. I think, you know, a lot of the songs, not a lot of songs, that's not fair. I think there are some songs where I thought there could have done some editing.
Like shorten it?
Sure. Like, I think
you... You and the New York Times.
Oh, right.
I'm not going to get into that.
But you, I know, I also think that Taylor doesn't need any, like, she doesn't need to collab with anybody. I don't need anybody to be on it. I do think that Post Malone was a great addition. And I know you really like his piece of the song, but going the bridge in between the Taylor part and his part goes on way too long, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, I think that the song is ending and then, then Post Malone comes in.
She has several songs on this album where I keep, Clara Bow is one of them. I keep thinking that
But Daddy, I Love Him is another.
Yeah, I keep thinking the song is ending and then she comes back. But it's almost, I find that satisfying. So yes, you're right. The Post Malone part, a term that a lot of people are talking about when talking about parts of this album is like, it scratches my brain, which I'd never heard of, but it's like a great description. Like I hear that Post Malone part and it scratches my brain. Like I'm alert and I'm listening and I'm like feeling that. And I'm very much like in my body. I'm very present. But a lot of these songs, like, okay, I'm not trying to like compare this album to any of her other albums. I very much want it to like exist on its own. But one of the things that we talked about with like Mastermind and Midnight Rain on Midnights was like, we were kind of always waiting for like the satisfying part. Like it was like, this is a good song. This is a good song. And I'm kind of, it feels like it builds and then it ends. Like I never like get over the hump. And I find it very satisfying that, like, she comes back after, when I think that the song has ended and then all of a sudden I hear, you look like Taylor Swift. And I'm like, ah!
I still think that The Archer missed an opportunity.
That was a song that had
so much build up.
Yeah.
And then, like, I never had the release.
Yeah, the release. Yeah, it's like the release. Okay, I know that you don't care as much about what the music means within Taylor's life. Like, you can really look at a song and you can really, like, hear your own meaning and think about your own life or think about whatever, anything in life. But I do, for me, and I think for a lot of people, and just talking about this album, I do think that, like, the context is important when we're talking about it. And so I wrote it down because I really wanted to like get it right. I won't read word for word. But like she says in the foreword, like this is a compilation of songs like from a moment in time. And I want to talk about that moment in time. So Taylor has this 6-year, like very romantic, also very quiet relationship secluded with Joe. She has completely bought in because he loved her when she was at her lowest. You know, we definitely need to talk about the Amy song, but like he loved her when she was at her absolute lowest. So to her, she's very much of like, this is my end game. And she operates in their relationship that way. So even when it's no longer working as she's no longer like canceled, you know, and like she's kind of becoming big, even though it's no longer working. She is admitting that she's basically still bending herself to make it work.
Question though is, do you think that relationship was extended because of the pandemic though?
Like, do I think it would have ended
sooner if lockdowns didn't happen?
I don't know. It was kind of a perfect storm because it was like she gets canceled and then the world shuts down.
No. She was.
Oh yeah, you're right. Right. She came back. I don't know. Maybe you're probably right. So, but anyway, so she shows us in this album that this is kind of what was going on. So it ultimately ends, and it ends in kind of this, like, it sounds like maybe they, like, should this end, they get back together. Should this end, it gets back together. And it just kind of, and then it just kind of dies, right? Like, that's what we get from that song, how it ended. Like, and then one day, it just did.
Yeah. It feels like it ends more with a whimper than a bang.
Exactly. So, really what this album is the messiness that is post-breakup, which I absolutely love. It's like the rekindling with an old flame, which was like a huge deal to realize that so much of this album is about Maddie Healy from what we can deduce. But she, you know, to your point, isn't being entirely subtle. She's talking about the British guy with tattoos. Like, that's not Joe. So it's like the rekindling with your old fling or someone that you've had something with, because that is familiar and that's comfortable. And you're acting like in this post-breakup, I think this is something most people can relate to. Let's not even call it post-breakup, but just post something bad, right? Like you're acting kind of manic. You're blaming every crazy and maybe irrational decision that you're doing, all of your like behavior on this breakup. It's like kind of a whirlwind. And you have, so with Maddie, this is like very much her rebound, but she tells us for the first time, this is the guy that she calls when she's not in her relationship. So she breaks up with somebody. He's her guy. They've had this like years long kind of thing, whether they were like dating or hooking up or just kind of like a will they, won't they. This has been going on. So like this, what we're getting a look at is this like messiness of this like post huge, like life altering, like thing. And then he ultimately disappoints her and he goes, and you're like now at this point, like truly left alone. You're down bad. The weight of everything is hitting you, but life also has to go on. You have a job. You have to be there for families and friends. You have to hit your marks. You have to do it with a broken heart. So it's like that whole roller coaster of post breakup. And it's like those moments that you're like so down. I'm getting emotional, but like these moments that you're really so low, that's like when you learn to like love and accept yourself, which like then leads to your Travis Kelce. And you're probably going to like laugh at me for like getting emotional, and maybe I'm getting too vulnerable here, but the whole thing of this like really, really resonates with me, because like I feel like you're like my Travis Kelce, and like you have this like...
He's not a bird.
But like just in the sense of like, she went through this whole thing with Joe. She tried to like be who he wanted her to be. She gets like reconnects with like the people or the things or whatever it is that like feels familiar. And she has this like manic behavior. And then like when you are that, when you get to your low, to your rock bottom, like I've told you this, like the crying at the gym and down bad is like, that's what Taylor does best. She gets like so, so specific, because every like really hard thing in my life, I think about it like even after our dog Addie died, like it was really hard for me to like work out. Like I couldn't do like my regular workout things, because that was like the only time that you're like alone with your thoughts. Like, and I get this whole like crying at the gym, because even a couple months ago, like I feel like I was just kind of going through something and I literally cried in the middle of my spin class, because like it's like the only time that I feel like you're like alone with your thoughts. But anyway, to get through all of that and to like realize who you are, and then it like allows you to be with the person that like it's just easy and it's like fun and it's easy. That we all have our things that we do relate to Taylor on, and like that's why this album feels like really monumental for me, or that's like the piece of it that I connect with.
So Maddie Healy is British?
Yeah.
Oh my God. What is it with Taylor and British guys?
I know.
Like, thank you, Travis Kelce, for repatriating Taylor. Like, between, so long, London.
Between this and separating the art from the artist, this podcast episode is going to get us canceled.
I just, you know, none of these, like, British relationships have worked for her, mm-hmm. clearly. And I just learned that Maddie Healy's British.
I mean, you're making me question myself, but I'm nearly positive.
I know, you said something about British...
Oh, yeah, because he was like, she's tattoos. Because she has the lyric of, like, I'm, like, the American girl of your dreams, and it's, like, the guy with tattoos. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. See, I don't really have all this I mean, obviously, I knew that there was, like, a fling during the Eras tour with Maddie Healy. It sounded like it only lasted for, like, a couple of weeks, if that. Sounds like he was problematic.
Yeah.
You know, there were some lyrics that I heard, which I was like, ooh, that's a little, like, why would you... It kind of felt like stooping. It was talking about the drugs.
Yeah.
And like the addiction. And
yeah.
I was like, okay, you know.
This album, I think, is the most savage Taylor's gotten. Like, she name drops. Like, it's crazy. And she leaves nothing to the imagination.
Any of these names. Like, I don't know who Lucy or Sam or Mark
is. So, Lucy is, she's like... She's a singer-songwriter in Boy Genius with Phoebe Bridgers. And so, you know, they're all friends or whatever. And then the whole concept of, like, Sophia or Marcus or Chloe or, like, whatever that was kind of goes back to this whole thing of, like, Maddie has been in her life in some capacity for so much longer because, like, it's like, okay, we get together, but there was always kind of like, maybe you're with Sophia or Marcus or Chloe or like whatever. And like the Fresh Out the Slammer is the song that really like kind of defines all that out for me, because it is. It's like, I'm fresh out the slammer out of this, you know, out of Joe Alwyn's basement or whatever they kept me in. and of course, you're the first one I call.
See, I mean, this context is helpful to understand the album a little bit more, because I thought that this relationship with Healy was like Eras.
I don't even think you can call it a relationship.
Whatever.
Yeah. The situationship.
The history between them, I had no idea existed.
So she pretty much confirms Maroon is about him. There's a line. It's in one of the songs about him. I absolutely cannot remember now, but it's like... It's like, oh, the scarlet fades into maroon. And it was like a clear song about him. But yeah. Anyway, sorry, finish your thought.
No. I'm just saying. But you alluded earlier, you know, the context is helpful to understand the songs. But, you know, Taylor's not writing these songs just to tell us a story about herself and her own life. Some of them are, obviously. None of us are going to have the experience of Thank You, Amy, probably. I would hope not. But I think that there has to be an element of you can interpret it on your own.
Totally.
You don't need to... I think when you dissect it and you are, you know, going crazy and creating timelines and linking people together on a bulletin board like a murder case.
Yeah.
I think there's a little bit of a loss that happens with that.
Yeah.
And you're only going to want to understand it and think about it in terms of linking it to Taylor's life.
Yeah. I mean, clearly I think you're right that can happen, but clearly even listening to this, I've had my own life kind of projected for me too. Like I said, like hearing Down Bad is like this moment of like thinking about our dog.
Something else you said was, I feel like I didn't really see some of the same intimate moments in the lyrics of this album. I have to keep listening.
Yeah, I have of course. To still Again,
get there.
The whole caveat is that we're a day out.
We're still a day out. And it's very much like a Sad Girl Spring album.
Yeah, yeah.
When, like, this is, like, when I want to start, like, listening to bops.
Yeah, like, I'm like, it's almost Cruel Summer Season.
Yeah, like, I want the windows down, and I'm not going to, like, drive around with Chloe or Sam or Marcus or whatever,
yeah, yeah,
you know, blasting out of my car. So I probably haven't given those, like, the strong listens that I ought to. I wasn't hearing sort of the same exposure in, you know, in some of the greatest tracks of Taylor's career, things like All Too Well and,
yeah,
and Last Kiss. And, you know, I felt like this album sort of lacked some of that.
Well, you are right, right? Like, it is everything. She very much leaned into poet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything's a metaphor. Everything's a little bit vague, I guess. Or it's just exactly what you said. Like, it's just not quite as, like, the direct exposure that we've gotten in the past isn't,
yeah,
quite there. Like, she really leaned into the theme.
And, I mean, she really leaned into, I think it's been documented that, like, the top hits have only been getting shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter of music, not just of Taylor Swift.
Oh, wow.
Like, I want to say, like, top songs as defined by things like Billboard have, if, when placed on a graph, you can see that, like, they're getting to be, like, 3 minutes or,
wow,
shorter. And then there's this one anomaly of 10 minute All Too Well. You know, all
that,
the way up here. And, of course, this album bucks any of
it's
that.
So long.
Who knows what's going to get where in terms
this,
of...
The anthology is, the songs are shorter. It almost feels like she wrote, like, a journal entry and wrote a song, a quick song about them. They get a little shorter. Maybe not all of them. Some of them.
I mean, a lot of these songs are like 5 minutes.
Yeah, they are.
And in a TikTok generation, that's kind of...
The attention span is,
yeah,
hard.
You know, it's... I don't know that if they're going to get their due time. I mean, again, you have songs like All Too Well, and I will listen to all 10 minutes of it every single time.
Yeah.
But I was a little bit surprised by, just simply by the length. But
yeah,
there's just so much I still think that, you know, we are prematurely recording this.
Totally. Totally.
But these are only gut reactions.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, with that, I think that that's, like, a really, really important note to go into our next part, unless you have any kind of high-level closing thoughts for album.
I like it. I'm going to continue to listen to it.
I love that.
Don't care what the New York Times has to say.
Oh, wait, there was one more thing I really wanted to say. I'm so glad that I looked at my notes. I do think it's really important for you, my husband, to hear this album because...
Oh, boy.
So we have never broken up. Like, we've, like, you know, we never had any of that time. And so I just, like, am really glad that, as you know, I feel like in her mind or whatever, like, she can take me there to, like, these past times. And I'm definitely, like, a, like, burn your house down, like, stalk your friends and family kind of, like, ex-girlfriend. And so I just really am like, oh, I think it's, like, really good that you know, if you were to break things off, that this album's very much, like, I think what you're in for.
Cool. Okay. Good to know.
Okay. Just happy that you finally have a view into it. Okay. So, knowing that this is gut reaction, I want us to do our top fives. And I figured we could go back and forth. And are your top fives ranked?
No.
Okay. So we'll just go back and forth with, like, any of them, yeah, within the
and
top
I,
five.
And to be, I made fun of Sarah earlier for this. I'm still, like, there's going to be a live on the scene where I will declare the number five because I'm between six songs.
Oh, okay. I love that. Yeah. I was literally, like, it was, like, an hour before recording and I was like, I really need to pare down my top five because right now it's a top nine.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to go first or me?
You.
Okay. Fortnite.
Yeah, Fortnite's in my top.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I think I'm glad that Post Malone didn't get the like original Snow on the Beach Lana Del Rey treatment.
Yeah, he like actually got a moment.
He's very much in it. He's very much involved. There's, I think, obviously he gets like a solo, but yeah. I think the two of their voices together. He's everywhere. I know he's been around. I know that he's popular, but he was on the Beyonce album. Now he's on this album.
Didn't he sing at the Super Bowl too?
He sang at the Super Bowl.
He's having a moment.
He's having a good moment.
Yeah. It's, yeah, sometimes like these things make me realize that I'm just like such a big fan of like somebody bigger than I realized.
But we didn't talk about the music video.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about it now that we're on it.
Did you have any thoughts?
I really liked it. And the imagery was like where, like her marketing for me worked because like listening to it, that like I was in there, like I was in the asylum. And so, like, to see it was, like, quite jarring but beautiful.
Yeah. I definitely liked it. Music videos always confuse me, just kind of in general. Like, I know it's kind of like this, you know, it was brought up by MTV, which is basically out.
Yeah.
Music videos don't really have
a... They don't have a purpose.
They don't have a purpose or a place in, like, pop culture these days. But Taylor's... leaned into them.
It's just like her thing.
Regardless. there were the two actors.
From Dead Poets Society.
I this is probably not popular, but I've never seen the film.
Oh, I haven't either, but the two actors are in the Dead Poets Society. Yeah.
Now it makes sense. At first I'm like, what are you guys doing? Like,
context is so important.
Context feels so important. Because at first I'm just like, you guys are famous. Like, are you just down on your luck? Like, did you owe Taylor a favor and she decided to call it in? I was like, how does she get these people?
Yeah.
I mean, and she's so...
Because she's Taylor.
She can get anybody at this rate, but...
Yeah, I love it.
It did surprise me.
I love it. All right, we're aligned on Fortnite, so that's great. Okay, my next one would be Down Bad.
Down Bad's a good one.
Yeah.
I like Down Bad.
It's so easy to sing, too. Like,
well, and I like the sort of, like, alien abduction theme throughout it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Florida is a recurring thing, I think. And I don't think that there's a specific mention of Florida in this song, but in my head, aliens, NASA, like, there's a connection in that regard. I don't support, you know, any promotion of Florida, just kind of in general. And it's not what I thought she would have done. I'm sure there's context behind it, but...
That was the... Allege, I guess that's, it was right after she had to do the Florida shows, like right after the breakup with Joe was announced. And so that is seemingly like the fortnight that her and Maddie had their whirlwind rekindling.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And there's also a thing about Texas in Florida.
And Texas was the show before. And that was it. Yeah.
The linkage. Okay. But there was Florida in Fortnite too.
Yeah.
Go to Florida, buy a car.
Yeah. But again, like even the mentions of Florida, like it's so many metaphors that I'm literally like, what the fuck happened in Florida? Like,
yeah.
I'm like concerned.
There was definitely a fight in Florida.
Yeah.
Which no big surprise there.
Okay, wait, so I sit down bad, so then what's your next one?
But Daddy, I love him.
Oh yeah, that's a big one for you.
Yeah, I love it. I won't take credit for this, but I heard somebody sort of refer to it as like the Trailer Park version of Love Story.
Oh, I love that.
You know,
that's hilarious.
It's like, oh, you know, it's a love story. You know, it was so happy. It was like, will they, won't they? She's like running out of the house without clothes on, her stuff undone.
Yeah.
Daddy's chasing him out with a shotgun, you know. The visuals that I got of that.
So my interpretation is that we, the people, are Daddy.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, I don't give a shit what you guys think. Like,
no,
this is my guy.
There's a very prominent, you know, verse.
Yeah.
You know, bridge, whatever, of calling out the people and the acceptance of him. I still think that there was an element to her actual dad.
To Scott.
I think back, I did see like the video of when she said Karma's the guy on the Chiefs. And like, and he's...
Yeah, he's like, well, he's so, I mean, he played football, I guess, in college. Yeah, so he's just like, he's loving Trav.
Yeah.
How could you not? Who doesn't?
Yeah. Love the song. I think it's a scotch long. I think it's a little bit long. I feel like there could have been, like, you know, one or two little places here where, like, this line could have been removed. But it's, again, getting warm. Car windows down. It's a great song to like shout along with, the chorus in particular.
Yeah.
And I do like the exposing of people. Taylor says, I can drag my name through the mud all I want. I don't need you guys to do it for me.
Totally. Okay. My next one is the Tortured Poets Department.
Really?
I knew that I was going to like this. Like, I feel like I am like the only one that ever likes like the song that kind of like the big, I don't want to say like the item, the album title. Cause I don't like Speak Now, the song. But like, I don't know. I was like, Anti-Hero is still like absolutely in my top three from Midnights. And I'm like the only person that feels that way. But anyway, I love the Tortured Poets Department and kind of, you know, similar to your point, like we're both Jack Antonoff fans. There's a lot of discussion right now. I really don't want to get into the media critique today, but like there's a lot of discussion about like, is it getting too repetitive? Like this Jack production. I like it. I've heard that. And I wrote down, this is a Bleacher song. And like, I'm here for it.
Yeah. It definitely sounds very Jack produced in a good way. I like the song.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the songs that has the elements that I like in terms of like, the personalization and sort of these glimpses, you know, Charlie Puth again.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it, you know, when she gets so specific, you were saying about crying at the gym. Like, to me, that kind of seems a little bit, I'm not going to say it's universal, but like a lot of people probably might go to the gym after a breakup and like that's a place that they can release.
Totally.
But like, having a conversation with your boo and talking about Charlie Puth should be a bigger artist. Like that to me.
That's specific. Like,
this is from your life.
Yeah.
And you are sharing it with the people.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the lightning in a bottle for Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do like that song. It's not in my top five, but again, it's one of those songs where I was just saying like, you know, if it's seven or eight or nine songs from the first release, that's in it.
Yeah.
Like, this is a good song. Yeah. I like it. You will be in the rotation. You're not a skipper.
Okay.
Is it me
turn? Yeah, it's your turn.
Me turn.
Luckily, I have me. Adam, I just have to share. Adam, like, just this weekend heard for the first time. And luckily, I have purse.
I have shoes. All right. I have Fresh Out the Slammer.
Oh, my God. It's in your top.
Yeah.
Which is so funny because, again, Fresh Out the Slammer to me is the story of all of this content.
Well, and at first, like, I had this early thought, you know, I don't want to call it a critique, but I wanted to say, like, Taylor, like, you dated the guy for 2 weeks. Like, what do you mean, Fresh Out the Slammer? You know I'm going to call you. With the context, it makes more sense. I just think it's a fun, like...
It is.
You know, like, it almost, like, kind of sounds like it starts out, like, as a Western, almost. Kind of with this, like, long chord.
Oh, yeah.
And it reverberates. I think it's fun. I like it.
I love it, too. Okay, my next top five is Guilty as Sin.
So, Guilty as Sin was, like, the song I was debating.
Yeah, I kind of had a feeling because I know you've said that you liked it.
I like it. It's a horny song.
I know.
This is her horniest album?
I think so. I think that's fair. Her like stifled sighs while she's like doing it with Travis.
Yeah.
With their friends in the next room.
While they're playing Grand Theft Auto. Yeah, it's a really like, you know, like this makes Dress blush.
Yeah.
Especially this song.
Yeah.
Very, very horny, but good.
But good, but so good.
Yeah. This, I mean,
So this is your last of your top five.
No. I said I wanted to.
Oh yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
This is again, no order. This is just
no. I get it.
Putting
I know,
songs
I know.
Down. I Can Do It with a Broken Heart.
That's mine too. That is my top song. Yeah,
that is the karma of this album.
So it's so funny you say that because, one, I think it's so funny that you're bringing this up just because obviously you knew it was in my top. I've literally just been strutting around the house for 24 hours listening to it.
Like Sarah has a few dance moves, but the dance move she's been using has been the strut.
Because
down the hallway.
This song to me is Bejeweled, where Bejeweled meets Mastermind. It's, I don't think in terms, a little, maybe a little bit with lyrics, but not really with lyrics, in terms of sound.
I'll disagree.
Okay.
I'm not picking that up.
Okay.
I'm actually not a big fan of Mastermind or Bejeweled.
Oh, Bejeweled, yeah.
But I am a big fan of this one. I'm a little concerned for Taylor about this song.
This is like that manic thing that I'm talking about. Like, this is her going, like, she's in it. This was her lowest.
And yeah, I mean, I also think it's like a little bit of a critique on the fans because it's like,
yeah,
we're screaming more. We want more. We don't care that you're falling apart.
Yes.
Definitely going to be like the hot caption of the summer. What is it? Lights, camera, bitch, smile.
Yeah.
Or lights, camera, smile, bitch.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's going to be the Instagram caption for the next summer, I think. God, it's fun.
It's so fun.
I already added it to my running list. It's a perfect song for runners out there because it's good for a kind of interval. When that chorus comes on, you are sprinting.
Yeah.
And then it pulls back a little bit and you can kind of catch your breath.
That's the thing, like,
back to
it's
it.
It's so satisfying.
It's so satisfying. But it also, I mean, yes, it's a good cadence of a song, but I also think that it's a perfect, it's also the pace of her life right now.
Yeah.
Where it's like, got a tour, got to do my show, got to get to the next city. And then I'm stuck in here with my thoughts. And I'm lonely and I'm dealing with a breakup and I'm dealing with another breakup.
Yeah.
And
this is, it kind of falls into the point of like the things that you love about Taylor. Like, this was not the like verbose poetic thing. Like, I cry, but I'm writing all the freaking time. Like, lights, camera, smile, bitch. Like, it is direct. She's letting us in. This is what was going on.
Yeah. And again, the tour is not over.
No, I know.
And I really wish that, like, I could see this one live.
Yeah, I know.
This would be a fun song.
I know. It kind of breaks my heart.
I don't think she, I mean, because even if she did it as a secret session,
it wouldn't be fun.
You know, playing this song on the piano will not have the same release.
No.
You know, like, when Summerfest or Loverfest got canceled, and we couldn't listen to Cruel Summer live.
Yeah.
Like, that was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And I feel like my heart would be broken in a different way if I was at the Eras Tour and she decided to play this on, like, acoustic guitar.
So, something, I just kind of got full body chills thinking about this. She has a Miami show, and now there's going to be all these songs about Florida. How lucky are they?
I don't know if she'll do them.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Like I said it at the beginning, it's hard for me to even start to wrap my head around what the Eras Tour is going to look like now. But yeah, I agree with you. I'm absolutely obsessed with this. You have one more, I think.
I do. And you know, this was one that, this is like the song I was listening to right before we hopped on here.
Yeah.
And I have to keep listening to it and I have to come back to it. And I don't even know if it, like, belongs here. Like, maybe Guilty of Sin should have been in. But I'm actually really into Chloe or Sam or Sophia or Marcus.
Oh, my gosh, wait, I'm shocked.
I thought you would be surprised by this one.
I'm not into it. I'm just kind of shocked.
Again, yeah. It's one of these slow, it's one of these sad songs. It should have been released in the autumn. This
all of your tops tell the story of Taylor and Maddie.
Yeah, whatever. I have no idea. But I think it's a lyrically driven song.
Yeah, yes.
It's vulnerable. Yeah. It's sad. It's wishing what was. It's breaking my heart. I think it's a very well written song. I think piano is a good place. This would be a good secret song.
Yeah. Yes, you're right. Okay, before we close out, I'd like to talk about our skips from the album.
Okay.
I have breaking news. So
if you say, but daddy, I love
him. No. After one full listen through, I wrote down two skips. Okay. I'll say them in a second. I wrote down two skips. Actually, I'll just say them now. The two skips were Florida and So Long London. That was one listen. I've listened a lot since then. I've probably gotten more rounds in than you. But again, you had to like go to an office. Since my first listen, both parts, the whole parts, I have not skipped a single song. I have not skipped a single song.
It's factually wrong, but...
What do you mean?
Because songs are skip worthy on this album.
Well, but it's not factually wrong.
No. I'm saying you are factually wrong that you don't have any. You should have.
You're saying I should, but I sit and maybe I bet you in a week I'm gonna feel different. But as of a day out, which was not the case for me with Midnights, I had skips right away. Not the case with me with like any of her vaults. I've had skips right away, with the exception of like 1989 TV. But like I listened to the first part and I was like, oh, Florida, it's not vibing with me. So Long London's not vibing with me. They're not even in my top three tiers. But since I've gone back, I start the album at the top.
How many tiers do you have?
Probably like five. Cool. I start at the top and I go through all the way. And since I've been doing that, I have not skipped a single song. And every song that like with every listen, I'm finding something new that I really love about every song.
Flip side, I'm done with like Kim and all that drama. So Cassandra and Thank You, Amy.
You skip them.
Skipped. I'm done. Oh, I think they're Cassandra's not that fun. Fun.
They're
not fun to me. They're, you know.
It's fair.
It also like, it almost seems a little just not well written. Thank You, Amy in particular. I just didn't think it was that great.
That's fine. I have said this, but I'm like a little bit scared for Rep. No one was safe. And now we really know no one's safe.
No. I'm also like, sorry, Travis. But like the alchemy.
The alchemy is like my number six.
The alchemy and So High School, they just like. It's there's too much cliche. There's like too much, you know, touchdown, the league, the trophy.
I'm into it. I don't know.
Cut them from the team.
I'm sure that Gen Z would say it's cringe, but like it's, I like thank, it. All right,
that's where I'm at with Gen Z then. It's a little cringe. I learned this the other day. It's a little ick.
It gives you the
ick. It gives me the ick.
Yeah.
It just, you know, it seems like something that a songwriter of Taylor's caliber. Like, maybe she's like, look, Travis, I'm just going to make this song really plain for you so you understand. There are no metaphors here. This one's for you.
Yeah.
And then in high school, like, you know, it's a little, it's really horny.
Yeah,
it's
for
like,
sure.
It's like, you know, great, Taylor. I'm so, like, you know, I'm glad you've got this.
I'm
right
so glad that you're getting it good.
Yeah. It's great. But it's just not for me. And there are other songs, like I think I'd written down, especially as these songs kind of close out the album, but like Peter, you know, it has
it's
not.
It's so funny. We just listened to that together like 2 hours ago, and I was like, wow, I like this song.
It didn't excite me. The manuscript didn't excite me.
Robin maybe is kind of like
Robin's
falls away for
one.
Me. Yeah.
That's me not having really given them like the deep
the
investigation
time.
Of
yeah.
the lyrics. This is, most of these are on the second part of the album.
Yeah.
So at least as it is right now on a beautiful day, it's 70 and sunny outside. I'm not going to put on Peter.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's fair. Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining. This was really fun. We kept like starting to have this conversation and then we're like, so I got some like really fun surprises.
Yeah. I think that this album still has a lot of surprises to be uncovered.
Yeah. I totally agree. All right. Well, thanks, babe. Love ya.
I'll get my reimbursements later.
Okay, great.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you enjoyed what you heard. And if you did, I encourage you to like and subscribe. Maybe leave a little review. Perhaps you could even share the episode with your friend. We'd like to give a special thank you to Jack McCarthy for producing our music and recording our intro. You can find more information about his work at the link in our episode description. We'll see you next time on Look What She Made Us Do.